Good morning, lover. He turned to find Lizzie on her side, smiling up at him with sleepy blue eyes. Hey, why are you looking so pensive? He rolled so he could face her.
How can you possibly look more beautiful now without makeup and with tangled bed hair?
Slowly he trailed a finger down the side of her face, tracing its soft lines. He ached to kiss her again, but was unsure of his moves, frightened to assume anything. Nick? Her eyes grew troubled. What is it? Letting out a sigh, he flipped onto his back again.
Honestly, I'm hoping to God I haven't taken advantage of you. If Charles hadn't blackmailed you, we would never have ended up in bed together.
Lizzie sat up and glared at him. What a stupid thing to say. How do you know that? Maybe this was always destined to happen.
And what exactly is this, Lizzie? One night of unforgettable but never to be repeated bliss, or something more?
What do you want it to be? He smiled wryly at the clever way she turned the conversation.
I want to make love to you this morning, this afternoon, tonight, and every other chance I get before you go back to America.
And for the rest of my life, he added in his head. Chuckling softly, she moved to lie across him, her breasts teasing his chest. That's good, because that's exactly what I want, too. She bent her head to capture his mouth. Here's to a few more days at the Fawzes. They had breakfast on the balcony and made love once more before hunting down some snorkels and wandering down the steps to the beach. It was as if her life in Los Angeles didn't exist. Lizzie had finally found relaxation, peace, and a man she not only had amazing sex with, but she could be herself with. A man who was not only a great friend, but who she was seriously falling in love with. She ignored the voices in her head telling her this wasn't going to last, that it wasn't real life. They could take a running jump for a while.
How is your swimming these days? Progressed from the doggy paddle?
His eyes teased and she slanted him a look. I think you'll find I'm no longer that 6-year-old girl you tried to teach to swim. The glance he shot back was hot and heavy.
I know.
Instantly her pulse rocketed and her insides liquidized. Incredible, she even felt herself blush. He might have a deceptively calm, quiet exterior, but beneath it lurked a positive sex god. He looked ready to take her again, this time on the beach steps. A shiver ran through her, but she didn't feel cold. On the contrary, she felt hot, extremely hot. "Last one in the sea cooks dinner," she announced, jumping off the last step and onto the beach.
"Hey, that's not fair!"
she heard Nick yell after her. Racing across the sand, she whisked a quick peek over her shoulders and smiled at the sight of him struggling to run with flippers in his hands and assorted masks and snorkels dangling from the rucksack on his back. Arriving at the sea, she splashed straight in.
"Yikes, that's cold!"
Nick exclaimed a moment later as he hit the water. She ducked her head into the waves, loving the feel of the spray on her face. "You always were a big chicken when it came to cold water."
"Who? Me?"
He shook his head at her.
"I think you're confusing me with Robert. I've just got a healthy respect for the temperature of the sea, probably because I don't have the luxury of the layers of blubber you females enjoy."
With one sharp pull, she tugged him very efficiently into the cold water. "Blubber, my ass!" When he reared up and deliberately looked at her bum, she pushed him under again. "I have it on good authority that my bottom is perfect." She wriggled that part of her anatomy suggestively in his face. "I was signed by Calvin Klein to be their swimwear model, I'll have you know." Standing up, he reached out and pinched her rear.
Maybe I can see why, but to be sure, I'll have to take these down.
She swatted away the hand that tugged at her bikini bottoms and went to fetch the mask and snorkel he'd abandoned on the beach. "You know, I haven't been snorkeling since..." Abruptly, she stopped. A family holiday in the Greek islands. She must have been about 10, Robert a much older 15. He'd begged their parents to allow Nick to come too, successfully arguing there was no way he could be expected to put up with his kid sister for a whole week. With a pang of remorse and a heavy dose of guilt, she thought of Robert now, lying on his bed in L.A., staring, unseeing at the ceiling. It was a sharp reminder of why the life she was living with Nick could only ever be a temporary escape. Nick gave her hand a light squeeze, gently bringing her attention back to him.
It was Greece, he supplied softly. I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. A holiday abroad with my substitute parents and best friend.
He flashed her a smile. Just a shame this annoying brat followed us round all the time. She pushed him again, hard, but this time he was ready for her, laughing as he captured her hands. It was only later, as she was snorkeling, that she realized he'd known exactly what to say to lift her mood. They snorkeled for half an hour before falling, dripping wet, onto their towels. Nick leant on his elbow, watching Lizzie as she stretched out in front of him. She had the grace of a cat and the body of a siren. It was no wonder he couldn't get enough of her. Of its own volition, his hand reached out and began to trace the skin at her slender waist.
All those people who gaze at this body in magazines, the women with envy, the men with desire.
His fingers smoothed across her toned stomach.
They have no idea that what they're seeing is only a pale copy of the real thing.
I'll have you know I'm lightly tanned. Her face smiled up at him. He ignored her self-effacing comment and carried on his study.
Your skin is amazingly soft.
He wished he knew how to describe it to do it justice. Saying it was like silk was too cliched, yet he couldn't think of any other description. He was a numbers man, not a words man. Deciding he was better letting his actions do the talking, he dropped light kisses across her stomach, his face erupting in a satisfied smirk as her nipples hardened.
Lizzie.
She turned to meet his eyes, and whatever he was going to say stuck in his throat. Unable to resist, he bent to capture her mouth, kissing her with the intensity of a man starved of female company. It was how he felt around her. For years he'd made do with loving her in his dreams. Now, for these few precious days, she was a reality. He intended to make the most of it. His hands crept under her bikini top, palming her breasts, but suddenly the answering warmth wasn't there. Worse, she was pushing him away. Nick, no. Sitting up, she crossed her arms over her chest. God, what if someone's out here taking photographs? I've had enough of people watching me have sex to last me a lifetime. Her words sliced through him, and he rolled away, feeling every inch the horny teenager accused of pouring a girl out of his league.
You're right. Sorry,
he replied tightly, turning his eyes towards the sea, hurt and annoyed with his lack of control. The trouble was, they were coming at this affair from two very different directions. She was a touch of paradise he'd never be able to get enough of. He was a pleasant distraction from her troubles back at home. Lizzie reached out a hand to touch his leg. Nick, sorry, that sounded harsher than I meant it to. Cutting off her attempt to placate him, he scrambled to his feet.
I'm going for a swim.
With a bit of luck, the cold water would dampen his flaming ardour, something he couldn't seem to keep in check when he was with her. Calling herself all kinds of names, Lizzie levered herself onto her elbows and watched anxiously as Nick swam up and down the small bay. She'd panicked, pure and simple. A sudden flashback to the photographs of herself on a bed, Charles licking her breasts, another man looking on with a leer on his face. For a fleeting moment she'd felt the awareness of a camera with a long telephoto lens. By the time she'd realized her fear was irrational, that the private secluded bay was totally deserted, it was too late. She'd pushed Nick away, denting his pride. Huffing out a breath, she sat up and rested her head on her knees, her eyes on the lone swimmer. She might have gone about things like a charging bull, but Nick had the sensitivity of flipping litmus paper. How could he possibly think she didn't want him? Couldn't he tell that every time he touched her, her body leapt into flames? Perhaps he was finding the transition from friend to lover too weird. Funny, because she was finding it exactly the opposite. Having a friend who was also a lover was so incredibly natural. One minute he'd make her laugh, the next she'd be breathless and giddy with desire. He didn't seek to control her, only to pleasure her. And when the passion was temporarily spent, there was no uncomfortable silences. Instead, there was cuddling, warmth, teasing. It was all so new to her, but she could so easily get used to it. Too easily. Finally, he strode out of the sea and walked towards her. Unabashed, she stared at him, watching the streams of water running off his hard body. a body usually quietly hidden beneath conservative clothes. That was Nick, understated, but actually quite magnificent. "Feel better?" she asked as he drew closer. Her heart sank as he avoided her eyes, instead reaching down for his towel.
"If you mean, have I got my libido in check, then yes."
"Nick, come on, don't be like this." She shook her head, frustrated with him. "It wasn't a rejection, you know that." Standing up, she ran her hands over his chest, kissing him lightly on the lips. He remained rigid, unmoving. Swearing under her breath, she gave up and went to sit back on the towel. "In case you haven't noticed, I'm currently the paparazzo's number one dream target. The last thing I need right now is to give them more ammunition." She pleaded with him to understand. "I'm a famous figure. I have to be extremely careful about my privacy."
"Yeah, I noticed."
With vigorous strokes, he rubbed himself down with a towel. He still hadn't looked at her. "So that's it, is it? You're going to strop all day just because I declined your offer of sex on the beach?"
"I wanted to make love to you," he corrected softly. "But I hear what you're saying. I'll restrict my amorous overtures to the safety of indoors in future."
She let out a sigh of pure, unbridled frustration. "God, you're so bloody infuriating."
"No doubt."
He picked up the snorkel equipment and hoisted it over his shoulder.
"I'll see you back at the villa. I need to catch up on some work."
As Nick made his way off the beach, he didn't dare to look behind in case he was caught by one of the daggers he knew Lizzie must be mentally flinging at him. Okay, he was being petty, and it sure as hell wasn't pretty, but it summed up exactly how he felt. As if he needed her to remind him she was a famous figure. Angrily, he shoved the towel round his neck. He knew she was, damn it, just as he knew she was not only out of his league, she was playing in an entirely different division. And now he was feeling good and sorry for himself, which pissed him off even more. Dumping the snorkels back in the pool hut, Nick acknowledged Lizzie had a right to be concerned about being photographed again. The scars from the last ordeal were still very fresh, something he of all people should know. So what he should have done was cut her some slack, shown some understanding, not stormed off like a truculent teenager. The trouble was, he reflected as he strode through the villa to the bathroom, it was hard enough handling the fact he was having an affair with Lizzie, the beautiful girl he'd fallen in love with all those years ago. When he was reminded he was also sleeping with Elizabeth Donoghue, dazzling supermodel and pin-up to millions of men around the globe, it sent him into freefall. He was attractive and successful, he believed that. But next to Elizabeth Donoghue, he wondered if he'd ever be attractive or successful enough. Chapter 19. When Nick finally surfaced, Lizzie was in her least favourite room of any house, the kitchen. She was attempting to make a chicken and mushroom pasta dish, the best peace offering she could dream up on the spur of the moment.
"Are you planning on adding sliced finger to the dish?" he asked from the doorway, watching her attempting to chop up the mushrooms.
"I thought it might make a new twist on humble pie," she retorted, throwing down the knife in despair. "Maybe this wasn't such a good idea after all." "Well, don't just stand there laughing. Help me."
He raised an eyebrow.
"Please." Seemingly satisfied, he manoeuvred her gently out of the way and started to expertly slice through the mushrooms. "Show off," she muttered under her breath.
"Well, practice does tend to make perfect."
He glanced at her as he eased the mushrooms into the waiting frying pan.
"I can't imagine the L.A. set do much of their own cooking."
She didn't want to talk about the culinary habits of her American friends. "Are you still annoyed with me?" she asked instead, needing to know where she stood. He took his time to answer her blunt question, turning on the gas, adding butter to the mushrooms, all with a meticulousness that made her want to shake him.
"No," he replied finally. "I guess I just felt brushed off."
He shrugged and stared broodily into the sizzling pan. She couldn't bear to watch him hurting. Walking up behind him, she placed her arms round his waist. "Whatever I made you feel, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to." He turned, and two deep brown pools stared back at her.
"And I'm sorry for being so sensitive."
Lightly, he kissed the tip of her nose. I'm feeling my way here. I'm not sure of my moves anymore. The role of sensible older brother came easily to me. I seem to have gone overboard on the lover part.
Of all the stupid things he could say, you're joking, right? Just because I don't want to make love in the potential glare of a paparazzi lens doesn't mean I want to slow down.
Putting her hands on either side of his face, she kissed him long and hard.
I want you, Nick Templeton. If you're willing to come with me right now, I'll show you just how much.
Finally, he laughed. Well, that's an offer I can't refuse.
He turned round to eye at the mushrooms.
But what about your pasta dish?
She turned off the gas and dragged him out of the kitchen. It would have been rubbish anyway.
The next few days went more quickly than either of them wanted. Lizzie was enjoying reacquainting herself with the girl who loved to laugh, to drink, and tell rude stories until the small hours, the one who went around without makeup, in the most casual of clothes, the girl who couldn't stop smiling. Under Nick's gentle, caring wing, she'd come back. As for Nick, he knew that any day now Dan would phone with news from Charles's lawyers, and his time with Lizzie would be over. The friend in him waited anxiously for that call, knowing it would mean Lizzie could leave this mess behind her. The lover in him prayed for the phone not to ring, because it was the lover who'd have to say goodbye to her as she boarded the plane back to America. That evening, the call he'd been both dreading and anticipating came through.
"Lizzie," he shouted up at her, hoping she wasn't still in the shower, "I've got Dan on the phone."
She appeared on the landing, a giant white fluffy towel wrapped around her body.
"What's he said?" she asked breathlessly, running down the stairs at a pace far too fast for the hard marble tiles. Relaxing only when she careered to a stop next to him, Nick put Dan onto loudspeaker.
"She's here now, Dan. Better give the lady the news before she passes out with suspense." "Hey, Lizzie," Dan's laid-back voice echoed across the room. "It seems your friend Charles hasn't got the stomach for a public court fight. His attorney's been in touch, and they want to settle. Now, I need to know what's acceptable to you."
Nick watched as joy and hope spread across her gorgeous face. Even the selfish lover in him, the one who'd wanted the case and thus his time with Lizzie to stretch out indefinitely, found he couldn't be anything other than happy for her. She'd been through hell. It was only right she could finally start to look forward.
"That's fantastic," she whispered hoarsely.
Before Nick knew it, she'd thrown herself at him, wrapping her still damp legs round his hips and her arms round his neck. Not content with that, she proceeded to kiss the very life from him. Momentarily stunned, it didn't take long for his body to recover from the shock and respond in an equally eager fashion. Within nanoseconds, he was kissing her back, notching up the intensity even further. When his legs started to buckle, he headed for the wall, pushing her against it so he could get more leverage. Damn, he was wearing too many clothes.
I'm waiting for an answer."
Dan's voice cut into the fog of desire. With a monumental effort, Nick dragged his mouth from Lizzie's, only to see her blue eyes laughing at him.
"We're just thinking on that, Dan," he finally croaked out,
sounding like a man who'd run 2 marathons and smoked a pack of cigars.
"Can we get back to you in a little while?" "Sure. You guys enjoy your celebration. I'll be here when you're ready to talk."
Lizzie giggled as Nick ended the call. "In a little while?" She hoisted her legs more firmly round his and dropped her towel. "I was rather hoping it would take longer than that." Kicking the phone away, Nick began to pull at his clothing.
"It can take as long as you like," he finally ground out before his mouth descended on her breast.
It was a long while later when Nick finally returned Dan's call. Lizzie left them to talk. As she told Nick, all she wanted was for Charles to publicly admit what he had done. She didn't want his tainted money, just her reputation restored. With Nick's deep voice humming in the background, Lizzie picked up the glass of champagne he'd insisted on opening and went to sit on the terrace. She could finally see her career opening up again. The light was clearly there now at the end of that tunnel she'd been stuck in. Perhaps before long her agent would be on the phone with a flood of new offers. Her life could begin again. So why, after the initial rush of happiness at the thought of being vindicated, was she now feeling so, well, flat? Wasn't it time to go back to her career?
her apartment overlooking the beach in Santa Monica, catch up with some of her friends. She sighed, clutching at her drink. Much as she tried, she couldn't summon up the enthusiasm for any of it.
For a woman who should be celebrating, you're looking far too sad.
Nick walked out towards her, carrying a half-filled glass. He'd thrown on some old shorts and a faded T-shirt. His face was in need of a shave, yet it was this very realness that was so attractive to her. In a flash, she realized she wasn't ready to let him go. She wasn't sure she'd ever be ready. Attempting a smile, she took another sip of champagne. I was just thinking about when I should go home.
Ah.
Slowly, he sat down next to her.
Well, that's up to you.
She sensed a tenseness in him and wondered if he, too, hated the thought of her leaving. Could I stay with you a little longer, until the dust settles?
Oh, God, she was weak, drawing out the inevitable.
Putting down his glass, he leaned across and took hold of her hands in his.
Having you stay with me hasn't exactly been torture, you know, though sometimes the meals have been slightly ropey.
She tried to smile, but it was impossible when her throat was clogged with emotion and her heart so full.
You can stay with me for as long as you want.
What would he say if she told him she wanted forever? Even if she dared ask, it wasn't possible. It might be what she wanted, but it wasn't what she could have. She'd already ruined 3 lives. She couldn't, wouldn't ruin his too.
Lizzie?
Nick's warm voice interrupted her anguished thoughts. Sorry, I was miles away.
Already back in L.A., eh?
Yes. His jaw tightened.
Well, you'll be there for real soon enough.
Too soon, she whispered, causing him to frown in confusion. Clearly he believed she wanted to go back, when in reality the thought filled her with dread.
This is a night for celebration, not sadness,
he remarked suddenly, springing up and hauling her to her feet.
Come and sway with me on the terrace. Then, if you're really lucky, I'll let you take me to bed.
Pushing away her somber thoughts, she remembered her favourite motto. Live for now. Today wasn't the time to change it. Chapter 20. Following Charles's confession, it didn't take long for the media sympathy to swing straight back in Lizzie's favour.
Just, Nick reminded her rather smugly, as he had predicted.
In fact, since they'd arrived back in England, she'd been inundated with new offers sent over by her agent. Apparently she was now Flavour of the Month. What a crazy world she inhabited. Almost as crazy as the life they were living in England. They'd been back 3 days, and each of those mornings Nick had woken with her in his arms and wondered if it would be his last.
Lizzie? He called out as he returned from his first day back in the office since they'd come back. I'm home.
Wincing at the glib phrase, heck, he sounded like the returning husband, he went to hunt her down. They might be playing at being married, but the clock was ticking on their time together. Sooner or later she'd find the perfect job and she'd be gone. I'm out on the patio. Squinting through the glass doors, he made out her slender figure, sitting cross-legged on the lounger, sunglasses perched on her head, papers in her hand. She waved and held up a glass. He knew the signal. Diving into the fridge, he pulled out the bottle of Sauvignon and went to join her.
What are you reading?
She looked at him somberly, and his heart almost stopped. A contract. Maria phoned to warn me she was emailing it through. It's the perfume again, Innocence. And this time, they don't just want me to front the campaign for the fragrance. They want me to represent the whole company brand. It seems they're jumping up and down, desperate for me to sign and get started.
Which company?
He asked quietly, his heart a heavy weight in his chest. Estella. His hand gripped at the wine glass. Estella was the fashion house, even he'd heard of it. Famous for its iconic perfume, chic makeup and cutting-edge fashion. It was a label models and film stars clamoured to be associated with, and they wanted Lizzie. Feeling as though he had had the stuffing knocked out of him, Nick slowly pulled the cork out of the bottle and poured them both a drink.
That's good, isn't it?
He said eventually. Yes, I guess it is. He clung gratefully to the fact that she looked no happier than he was.
"When do they want you to start?"
He watched her swallow, then take in a deep breath. "As soon as possible." His world caved in. The dread, the sickening anticipation he'd experienced for days all came to a head, and he almost couldn't breathe. It was really happening. Lizzie was going to leave him.
"You don't have to do it,"
he told her, his voice sounding as unravelled as he felt.
"Stay here with me instead."
He saw the answer in her eyes, and his heart crumpled. "I can't," she replied brokenly. A lone tear slid down her cheek, but he was too focused on his own misery to take much notice of hers.
"No, sorry, of course you can't. You need to go back to your career, don't you?"
The venom in his tone made her flinch. "Yes."
"Well, that put me firmly in my place, didn't it?"
He let out a low, humourless laugh.
"Then again, why am I so surprised? Your career has always been the most important thing in your world, hasn't it?"
He wondered how many rungs he was below it, or even if he was on the damn ladder at all. Lizzie longed to deny his statement, then slap his face, or slap first, deny afterwards, but what he was saying was true, wasn't it? She had put her career before her parents' happiness, first insisting on going to America, then whining when she was lonely, forcing them to go out and see her. So no, she deserved his cruel words, though it didn't mean she had to take them sitting down. "Would you be so scathing of my career if I were a doctor? A lawyer?" She didn't let him answer. "Besides, it's my career that helps to pay for Robert's medical needs. You seem to have conveniently forgotten I have a brother in a coma in L.A., but I can't. There isn't a day goes by without me remembering where my brother is." Or who put him there. For a moment he said nothing, just put his face in his hands and rubbed at his forehead. When he finally sat back up, he looked strained and so terribly sad.
"I don't mean to be scathing of your career. Truth is, I admire the hell out of what you've achieved. I lashed out because I don't want you to go back, though I know you have to."
He gave her a forlorn smile.
"How does that saying go? All good things must come to an end."
"We were a good thing, weren't we?" Tenderly, he trailed a finger down her cheek.
"Better than good."
She couldn't handle the anguish in his eyes or the way her heart was falling apart inside her chest. Jerkily, she got to her feet. "I'll go and phone Maria." Picking up the contract, she walked inside. When she'd finished on the phone to her agent, at least someone was happy about all this, she found Nick stood on the patio, staring morosely at the hills as the night grew dark around him. "I told Maria I'd fly back tomorrow."
"So soon?"
His voice sounded strangled, and Lizzie felt her eyes prick. Hurting herself was bad enough, but hurting Nick, that was agony. "I might as well," she replied numbly. "I mean, if I've got to go, there's no point putting it off. It's just, I'm not really ready to go yet." Her voice broke as her mind swelled with images of the time they'd spent together. The walks across the hills, the day on the river, the time at the villa. She didn't want all that to end. Before she knew it, Nick's arms were around her, bringing with them the feeling of security, the sense of a strong, warm haven she longed for. She burst into tears. Nick held her, his heart breaking. He wanted to tell her they could fly Robert to England, that he'd help pay the medical bills, but somehow he knew she'd say no to that too. Her life was in America now, and he had no right to expect her to give it up for him. "Will you come and visit me?" Her big blue eyes glistened with tears as she stared up at him.
"Oh, Lizzie, I don't know."
He wasn't sure he was up for the torture of a slow transatlantic relationship death.
"Isn't it better to have a clean break? Not see each other for a while?"
She clutched at him, shaking her head. "I don't think I can get on that plane if I know it's the last time I'll see you for a long time." He didn't think he could put her on the plane, period. "Please." He studied her reddened nose and swollen eyes and knew it would take a stronger man than him to refuse her.
"Okay."
"Promise." He mustered the strength to smile.
"Promise."
Using his thumb, he wiped the tears from her eyes. Though by the time you've become the face of Estella, you might not want to know me any more. She put a hand on either side of his face, clutching at him almost violently. I will always want to see you, Nick. Always.
Good.
Taking her hand, he led her into the barn and into his bedroom. He took his time undressing her, wondering if this would be the last time. The modelling world would soon captivate her again, as would another hunky male celebrity. It was unlikely she'd keep him to his promise when the world's sexiest men were back on her doorstep. Nick. He glanced down to find his hands clenching at her bra straps.
Sorry.
Forcing them to relax, he gently tugged off her bra. Tonight he'd give her something to remember him by, and give the next man she took to her bed one hell of a lot to live up to. Once again, Lizzie found herself at the airport, saying goodbye to Nick. The last time, she'd been too dazed with grief to remember much about it. This time, she knew the pain of leaving Nick would stay in her memory for a long, long time. Standing in the sterile departure lounge, all she could see around her were happy faces. Families preparing to go on holiday, lovers checking in for a romantic weekend break. God, what was she doing, leaving this man she loved so much? She flung her arms around him. I've changed my mind. I want to stay. Please, let me stay. Briefly, his arms tightened, but then he drew away.
You don't mean that. You've just been handed a dream contract. Go home. Take up the Estella offer. You'll live to regret it otherwise.
She wouldn't. For all the prestige it represented, it wasn't the Estella contract pushing her onto that plane. It was her pride, her need to return to the place she had left in shame with her head held high. Mostly, though, it was Robert. She had caused irrevocable damage to her family, and somehow she had to try and make amends. The reasons didn't matter, though. She still had to get on the ruddy plane. When will you come out and see me?
When you invite me.
Tomorrow? His smile didn't reach his eyes.
I sense delaying tactics. Go and get on the plane, Lizzie. When you touch down in L.A., you'll feel a whole lot better. If nothing else, at least you'll have had a long sleep.
The memory of that journey to England made her heart ache. I don't usually sleep on a plane, not like I did coming over here. It must have been shattered.
As long as it wasn't the company.
She tried to smile, but when tears flooded down her cheeks, she knew it was no use. If she didn't go now, she'd never go. Giving him a final quick kiss, she turned and walked away. Staying might be what she wanted, but for too long she'd had what she wanted. Now it was time for what she deserved. Chapter 21 It had been 4 weeks since she'd last seen Nick. 4 seemingly endless weeks since he'd looked down at her with those expressive brown eyes and told her if she didn't take up the Estella offer, she'd regret it. Right now, exhausted from a 5 a.m. start and roasting under hot camera lights, Lizzie was pretty sure he was wrong. The desire to model had been in her head and heart from an early age, but a lot had happened in the 8 years since she'd left England, all starry-eyed, to model in New York. Sure, she had made a steady rise to the top, but on the journey up there she had lost everything that was really important to her family, her dignity, and her sense of identity. Somewhere along the line she also seemed to have lost her love for modelling. Where once it had been fun, an opportunity to travel and mingle with people she'd never otherwise have a chance of meeting, now she could only see it as a way to be near Robert and pay for his care. She had no skills other than her ability to pose in front of the camera, so, while she could, she had to make the most of the one asset she had. In her heart, though, she wasn't modelling in L.A. She was back in England, living in the country. With Nick. She'd finally fallen head over heels in love, and it had to be with a man who lived thousands of miles away from her. But if living with him was pie in the sky, surely it wasn't too much to ask to see him now and again. Despite a fair degree of prodding, though, so far Nick hadn't committed to a date to fly over. If she had any sense, she'd know he was being evasive and leave it. Instead, she found herself dialing his number after the shoot.
"Hello, Nick Templeton's phone."
Expecting to hear Nick's deep voice, Lizzie was nonplussed to hear the voice of a woman, a young, breathy-sounding woman. It left her totally wrong-footed.
"Where's Nick?" "He's just popped out. He'll be back any minute. Can I tell him who's called?"
The woman on the other end of the phone was composure itself.
"Could you ask him to phone Lizzie?"
In her days, she nearly forgot her manners.
"Please."
Of course, there were dozens of perfectly logical explanations for why a woman was answering his personal mobile phone at 9 o'clock at night, and none of them required either party to be naked. So why couldn't she think of any of them right now? Why could she only remember his hesitancy about coming out to see her? Lost in her dark thoughts, she almost missed hearing her phone ring.
"Hi, Lizzie, it's Nick."
She'd been dying to talk to him, but now she didn't know what to say.
"Thank you for phoning back."
Formal and polite, very different from how she'd have been if he'd answered his own stupid phone.
"No problem. How are things in the hotbed of L.A.?"
It was no use. She couldn't have a casual conversation with him when her mind was screaming, "Who was the woman who answered your phone?"
"Where are you, Nick?" she asked sharply.
"Still at work. Why? Are you okay? You sound a bit odd."
"Why did that woman answer your mobile?"
"Who? Sally? Well, I guess she must have heard it ringing on my desk when I dashed out to buy a sandwich."
Her heart went into freefall. "The same Sally you were seeing?"
"Yes."
There was a humming silence while she worked out what to say that wouldn't make her sound like a paranoid, jealous bitch.
I thought we were still in a relationship. God, had she been totally stupid? Was it out of sight, out of mind for him?
"Lizzie, what's wrong? Oh, surely you don't believe."
She heard him exhale sharply. "I'm not seeing her again, if that's what you're thinking. We're both in the office, working." Slowly she let out the breath she'd been holding. Okay, now he'd explained. Maybe she did sound paranoid. But it was easy to be paranoid when you were thousands of miles away from the man you loved. "So I don't have to get on a plane and challenge her to a duel at dawn?"
A soft huff. "You don't need to get on a plane for that reason, no."
Before she could ask him if he wanted her to get on a plane for a different reason, to see him, he was talking again.
"You seem to have forgotten I'm a workaholic accountant. You, on the other hand, have been draping yourself over hot male models. I've far more grounds to be jealous than you."
Her heart thumped. "And are you?"
"What, of those handsome male models?"
"Of course I am." For the first time since she'd answered the phone, the hand holding it relaxed.
"Good. Then we're even."
Not by a long way, he thought grimly.
Still, the fact that she'd been jealous at the thought of him going back to Sally was a welcome massage to his ego, even if he was well off the mark. Sally had been interested enough, but there was no way he could go back to the hollow relationship he had with her, not after getting a taste of what a real relationship would feel like. One with a woman he totally loved. Absolutely. Hopelessly.
"Back to my original question. How's the world of modelling?"
"There have been some good days. I've just come back from a shoot in Mauritius."
He whistled. "Oh, I'm starting to regret asking you now."
"There wasn't a patch in our few days in Sardinia."
"That's more like it."
He heard a soft sigh. "I hate to sound like a broken record, but when are you coming to see me?"
Time for his stock response. "Well, I've got quite a lot on at the moment."
"So you keep telling me. I'm beginning to think you don't want to see me." How wrong could she be?
At the airport, he barely managed to stop himself from blurting out yes to her plea to stay with him. Only the knowledge that the quiet pace of life with him would soon become a noose around her neck, slowly strangling the sparkle and vitality from her, had made him see sense. She was like a stunning, rare butterfly. He could enjoy her when she fluttered into his life occasionally, but there was no way he could keep her caged.
"Nick, are you still there?"
He shook himself.
"Yes, I'm here. Sorry, I'm a bit distracted at the moment. I still do have a lot of work lined up, which is why I'm still at the office at 9 o'clock at night." Though if he had thought for one moment there was a chance for them, he would have dumped the work on a junior colleague weeks ago and dashed across to see her.
"Okay. I hear how busy you are. Message received, loud and clear."
The hurt in her voice was unmistakable, even across thousands of miles.
"Lizzie, if it helps any, I miss you. A lot."
"Good. I miss you, too." Her voice sounded so fragile, as if she was trying not to cry. God, he hated this. Being so far from her was agony. Where once he'd been strong, keeping his feelings hidden, keeping his distance, now he was so flipping weak it was pitiful.
"How about in a week's time?" he blurted. "I can probably take a few days."
"Oh, yes, please. Stay as long as you can." His dumb heart lifted at her words. It didn't care that she was the supermodel living in the glitz of L.A. and he was an English accountant who fled to the quiet of the countryside at weekends. No, his heart figured while she still wanted to see him, it still had a chance with her.
"Well, I better go back to putting together my spreadsheet on accelerated depreciation. I guess you'd better go back to wrapping yourself around those male models."
"See you soon," she whispered softly. A few evenings later, feeling better than she had done in weeks, now she had the promise of seeing Nick, Lizzie put on her best public face and attended the launch party of the new fragrance she was promoting, Innocence. The irony of the name after what she'd been through wasn't lost on the thousands of people who flocked to see the launch, nor was it lost on Hank, the broodingly handsome, annoyingly temperamental model who'd been chosen as the face of Estella's latest fragrance for men, Sin. It was an essence that oozed from him as he swaggered up to her.
"At last, Elizabeth has come out to play."
With a proprietary air, he tugged at a lock of her hair. "I've come out to do my job," she corrected stiffly, "not to play." On the previous occasion they'd met, he'd left her in no doubt she was on his list of potential targets. Women he'd zero in on, capture and spit out when he'd had enough. Several months ago there had been a moment, a wild, scary moment, when she'd nearly let herself be caught. Instead, she'd started dating Charles. Out of the frying pan, into a raging inferno.
"Come on, don't disappoint me. I've seen how good you are at playing," he murmured silkily, "thanks to those recent photographs we all have."
His dark words were a sickening reminder of how, despite the statement of admission from Charles, the memories of that sordid episode would be hard to exorcise. Most people she'd mixed with since her return had been sympathetic and kind, but there would always be the Hanks of this world, ready to bait and needle her. "I'll do my job with you, Hank. Nothing more." He laughed, his black eyes glittering.
"What's wrong? One man no longer enough for you. I can assure you, I'm all the man you'll ever need."
Her stomach churned and a cold sweat prickled at her skin. What type of woman had she turned into that she'd nearly slept with Hank, had actually slept with the cold-blooded blackmailer Charles? The Lizzie of old, secure, bristling with confidence, happy, albeit with the occasional bouts of loneliness, wouldn't have given men like Hank and Charles the time of day. But the woman who'd emerged from the agony of her parents' death was chillingly different. Not outwardly, perhaps, but inside, in her head. She was riddled with such heavy guilt it was like a poison eating away at her mind. It didn't matter that she couldn't have known the tragic consequences of her simple plea for a family to visit her. In her head, their deaths were her fault. Since then she'd started to punish herself, dangerously associating with men she knew would treat her badly. Back in England, her time with Nick had been a special treat, something she hadn't deserved but had snatched at greedily, hoping his goodness would rub off on her. Now she was in L.A. again, and terrified of falling back into her old ways.
"Elizabeth, Hank, we need you for the photo call."
Hank arched his eyebrow and smiled cynically, holding out his arm for her to take.
"Come along, sugar. It's time to drape adoringly over me for the cameras. Later, I might let you do it for real."
Gritting her teeth, Lizzie took his arm, knowing it was what the company needed from her and what the media were expecting. Innocence, and sin. Two new faces, prosthetics, two new perfumes. As innocent, she had to stand and smile sweetly, looking coy, while sin tried to tempt her down a different path. The cameras flashed as Hank smouldered down at her, draping his arm possessively round her shoulders, his grip biting into her skin. Next to him, she stood tensely, trying to imagine it was Nick, not Hank, who was holding her. But the arrogance of Hank's tight hold, the cruel, knowing smile that played across his lips as she flinched, was so far removed from the quiet, gentle intensity of Nick, it made her want to weep. As soon as she was able to escape, Lizzie excused herself and dashed off to the ladies. There she stood, hands braced against the sink, trying to quell the nausea swirling round in her stomach. It wasn't the first time she'd had to pretend to like a man for the cameras. It was part of her job, part of the fantasy she was paid to create. So why now was it such an ordeal? Was it because it was Hank? Or would she have felt the same revulsion towards any man who held her in such a possessive way? Any man who wasn't Nick. Chapter 22. Nick couldn't get the images he'd seen in yesterday's paper out of his head. Lizzie, with a tall, dark, dangerous-looking man, holding her as if he owned her. The quintessential brooding hero. Bronte's Rochester. Austen's Darcy. Involuntarily, his hands clenched and he tried to remind himself that it was simply a carefully posed photograph to launch two new perfumes. Any sexual chemistry between the models was created purely for the cameras. Wasn't it? He let out a deep, long breath and forced his fists to unclench. He'd know soon enough. Just as he'd know whether he was making this trip as her friend or her lover. He was damned if he knew what he was supposed to do any more. The taxi dropped him off outside her apartment block, the same one he'd found her hiding away in only a couple of months ago. He felt he'd lived a lifetime in the intervening weeks. After checking in with the downstairs security, he called for the lift, his mind still back on the last time he'd been there. Nick! He'd barely set foot in her corridor before she flung herself at him, hugging him in a vice-like grip. Silky blonde hair brushed against his cheek. I can't believe you're finally here. He sighed with pleasure as her familiar scent swept through his nostrils. She felt wonderful, more than wonderful, bloody, amazingly magnificent. Lizzie. There were so many things he longed to say, but he could only just manage her name. Taking hold of her hand, she led him into her apartment. I'm so sorry I couldn't come to the airport to greet you. The media interest isn't as bad as it was. They found another target for a while, thank God. But I didn't want to risk being noticed and dragging you into this crazy world. Well, not any more than you might have to be, because, you know, if they see you with me while you're here, they're bound to start taking photos and asking questions. She trailed off, obviously realising she was babbling. Was it possible she was nervous? He shot out an arm and grabbed her round the waist.
Are you going to stop talking long enough so I can kiss you?
Yes, she whispered softly. Most definitely, yes. And then he did what he'd imagined doing all those nights they'd been apart. He placed his hands on either side of her gorgeous face, lowered his lips to hers, and planted a tender kiss there.
Hello.
Her arms wrapped round his neck, and she pushed her mouth more firmly against his. Hello back. She didn't seem to be letting him go. In fact, she was opening her mouth now, her tongue darting out to dance with his. To hell with it. He angled his face and kissed her deeper, longer, with more heat. Women, who wanted to be just friends, didn't put their tongues down a man's throat. Lizzie's fears that Nick would be distant, that he'd only come because she'd pestered him to, just as she'd pestered her parents 2 years ago, vanished as his hands rested on her hips, drawing her against his very obvious arousal. I think the unpacking can wait, she announced huskily.
Too damn right.
His mouth descended once more, devouring her with a hunger that took her breath away. He had gone from achingly tender to scorchingly passionate in the blink of an eye. Dazzled by the change of pace, Lizzie clung to him, moaning with delight as his hands crept under her blouse and teased their way over her breasts.
Undone by his touch, she reached for his shirt, desperate to feel his skin and the tight, hard muscles underneath. When the small buttons started driving her mad, she opted to rip the thing off instead. It was much harder than she'd bargained for. In the movies, these stupid buttons fly off, she mumbled in frustration, resorting to undoing each one in turn. In the movies, I'd be the one ripping your clothes off, he countered, ignoring the buttons on her blouse and pulling it over her head. There, at least I've got further than you. She undid the final button and had the satisfaction of pushing back his shirt and burrowing into the warm, hard chest. Did I tell you how much I've missed you? He reached down and lifted her up into his arms.
I think you might have done, once or twice. And now it's my turn to show you how much I've missed you.
With that, he strode purposefully towards the bedroom. I think perhaps you did miss me after all. Full of a warm, fuzzy contentment, she traced circles on his chest with her index finger. But maybe you could show me again, just so I'm sure.
Always happy to oblige.
He started to kiss her collarbone. Who knew that was so sexy? But the mood was interrupted by a ringing phone.
You could let it ring, he suggested, running his fingers down her sides.
The fact that she was tempted said a lot about the wonder of his touch. But then I'd never know what I was missing out on. I'm far too nosy to do that. Smiling, she eased herself up and fumbled around for the phone on her bedside table. Hey, Catherine. They exchanged the usual greetings, but Catherine, being Catherine, soon got down to business.
Has that man of yours finally arrived, then?
He's lying next to me right now.
Oops, maybe she should have said sitting. Oh, dear, am I interrupting?
No, no, you're fine. Clearly bored of waiting, Nick eased himself behind her and began to kiss the nape of her neck. Her skin tingled. Perhaps we could speed this conversation up a bit, though. An amused chuckle sounded down the phone.
I'm having a party at my house tomorrow. Nothing formal, just a small gathering. I'd love you to come.
A party? Tomorrow? She repeated, turning to glance questioningly at Nick. Head bent, poised to kiss her shoulder, he paused and looked up. The smile he gave her was so forced it almost made her giggle. Yes, we'd love to come. Thank you.
You should have left it ringing, he mumbled when she came off the phone.
Smiling sweetly, she crawled back under the duvet. Come on, cheer up, it won't be that bad. A party in Beverly Hills. Some people would give their eye teeth for an invite. She traced the corners of his mouth with her tongue. You never know, you might even enjoy it.
Perhaps.
He still wasn't smiling, so she planted a kiss on his nose. When was the last party you went to? He wrinkled his brow.
Your 18th?
You're kidding! When he didn't refute his answer, she shook her head in disgust. Well, I'm not going to apologize for accepting then. 2 parties in 8 years isn't much to ask of you, is it? Finally, he crooked her a smile.
I guess I can manage it. Once every 4 years is about the right average.
They spent the following morning visiting Robert, and then driving along the coast to Malibu, dropping down onto the beach when Lizzie felt sure they were away from prying eyes. It was a stunning coastline, and Nick could tell Lizzie was enjoying showing it to him, much as he had loved showing her the countryside around his barn. Which did she prefer? He wondered, then stopped himself. Now wasn't the time to go down that route. They slipped off their shoes and walked along the sand, their footprints looking slightly incongruous. Hers so slender and dainty, next to his hulking size 13s.
When do we have to be at the party?
He winced. We don't have to go anywhere.
Ah, she picked up on his lack of enthusiasm then.
Seriously, I can phone and cancel. I don't care what we do, as long as I'm with you. As he had done yesterday when she greeted him so wholeheartedly, Nick felt another fluttering of hope. Could he dare to believe she was growing to love him? That they did have a future together? Sure, her place was here, so he'd have to be the one to move, but if she really did love him, he could do that, couldn't he? There were differences between accounting in the US and Britain, but he had a brain. He could learn. There was still the fact that the life she led, filled with parties and celebrity friends, would slowly drive him crazy. But again, he could try to like it. He wasn't completely socially inept.
I'm fine with going, he replied, and it was almost the truth.
Her expression told him she doubted his words.
I'd have to be a fool to miss out on the opportunity of mingling with L.A.'s finest, he added in an attempt to reinforce his statement. I presume I will see some stars.
Well, Tom Cruise won't be flying in, if that's what you mean. But yes, you'll probably recognize a few faces.
And the dress code. I'm not sure I'd pack the tuxedo.
He'd intended the words to be tongue-in-cheek, but suddenly realized it could actually be a posh affair for all he knew. His face must have registered his horror because she laughed. Don't fret, it's an informal do at Catherine's house. She's the friend who lent us the villa. You can keep the tux in your case. She took his hand and tucked. It's probably time we were heading back. If we go now, we might manage a little siesta before we need to get ready. Her eyes burned back at him, and desire kicked in, fast and hot. Lizzie knew exactly which buttons to press to get a reaction from him. She always had.
Sounds good, he croaked.
The siesta had come and gone, with no sleeping involved, and Nick found himself getting ready for a party, a phrase he didn't use very often. Lizzie had said casual, but to Nick's mind, casual meant jogging bottoms, and somehow he couldn't see this L.A. set turning up in a bunch of shell suits. Instead, he opted to wear a blue linen shirt, chino trousers, and the one jacket he brought with him. It was part determination not to be underdressed and part armour. In a jacket, or even better, a suit, he became Nicholas Templeton, partner in a thriving accountancy firm. That man was self-assured and assertive, confident of his place at the business table. Nick Templeton, sometime boyfriend of the glamorous supermodel Elizabeth Donoghue, was an entirely different matter. It was a role he'd only ever played in his dreams before now, and in his dreams, he thought despairingly as he surveyed himself in the mirror, he didn't look like a flaming stuffed shirt. He let out a resigned sigh. To hell with it. There was no time to change now. Even if there was, his small holdall was hardly crammed full with hot party gear, whatever that was. Her crowd would have to accept him as he was. It wasn't as if they'd be regularly running into each other. Unless he moved here. He gave his hair a final cursory comb and went to hunt down some Dutch courage in the kitchen. Delving into the fridge, he smiled with relief when he found a bottle of cold beer. Easing off the top, he settled against the counter and waited for Lizzie to make her entrance. He wasn't disappointed. 5 minutes later, she positively floated into the room in a soft ice-blue silk number. He wondered why he'd wasted his energy worrying about what to wear. No one, absolutely no one, was going to give him a second glance when he turned up with that vision by his side.
You look...
His mind fumbled for the words. Why was he so useless when it came to complimenting a woman? No, that wasn't true. Complimenting this woman.
Ravishing? Amazing? Glorious? She supplied, giving him a twirl, eyes alight with amusement.
Yeah, all of those things,
he agreed, taking her hand and pulling her towards him.
And breathtaking, too.
He nibbled the soft lobe of her ear.
And good enough to eat.
Giggling, she wriggled out of his grasp.
Oh, no, you don't. I can see your ploy. Distract her with flattery and kisses and we'll end up in bed and miss the party.
Sounds like a good plan to me.
Only because you've not spent an hour doing your hair and makeup.
He planted some teasing kisses along her neck.
Wow, she smelled as fantastic as she looked.
I can be careful.
I bet you can, but you'll have to wait till later.
Her neck was no longer in striking distance. She had moved ahead and was pulling at his arm.
Come on, it's time to party.
Nick gave in to the inevitable and followed her out. Perhaps the evening wouldn't be as bad as he feared. Chapter 23 Lizzie was looking forward to the evening almost as much as she knew the man sitting next to her in the limo wasn't. She wanted Nick to meet some of her friends, and if it meant him being uncomfortable, she was sorry, but this was important to her. He was important to her. She glanced over at him as the chauffeur drove them through the exclusive tree-lined streets of Beverly Hills and had to smother a smile. He was resolutely staring out of the window, no doubt psyching himself up. She could never understand why parties weren't his thing. When he was one-on-one, he was sharp and very funny. In smaller gatherings, he'd hold his own, articulating his thoughts when he considered the conversation important enough. In a party, though, he faded into the background, choosing the quiet corner.